This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings to everybody at TFMR. It is about 1 o'clock Eastern Time on Monday the 27th. And I've got this special podcast for you, and it's a real pleasure and honor to be able to post this for everybody to listen to, not just on the site, but across the internet. We've all been tracking palladium recently. If you've been a member here at TFMR, you know that I've been watching it now for a good couple of years, going back to February of 2018, and talking about how maybe it's a magic palladium bullet for exposing the bullion banks and their fractional reserve and digital derivative pricing scheme. A guy that got to this before me and frankly knows more about this than I is David Jensen. David is a precious metals analyst and expert. He runs his company, Jensen Strategic, which is a precious metals advisory service. He also runs his own private mining company. And like I said, probably knows more about palladium and what this is telling us than I think anybody that I could certainly know of. So put this podcast together to get all caught up from David, and we'll try to give you as much information as possible in a short amount of time. So, David, thank you so much for carving out some time on a busy Monday.
My pleasure, Craig. It's good to be back with you.
I tell you what, my friend, it is. I think we should start so that everybody knows that we know what's going on. Palladium got to 24.27 on the spot market back Wednesday. All right, this is about three trading days ago. As we speak, it's down about $140 today. A lot of the selling has come on COMEX hours the last couple of days. Now another 10% correction, which we've seen, four or five times in the last year. Okay, and none of those marked a top. And so there's still timely to listen to this information. David, before we get going, though, on palladium specifically, you shared some charts with me that I'm going to post on this page. Please run through the first couple of them so people understand the significance of palladium in the overall grand scheme of things.
Yeah, sure, Craig. As a group, as a complex, the precious metals, gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, they have historically run. And they have historically run in advance of consumer goods price inflation showing up. So basically, the central banks print money, they juice the economy, they fund deficits. All kinds of fun for those who are on the receiving end. But in the end, the consumers who aren't part of the party on the front end, they get hit with price inflation. So what we've seen historically was, for instance, in 1982, the central banks were forced to raise interest rates to 19%. And they were forced to do that because the price of gold in the prior 10 years had run from, in round numbers, from $35 an ounce, had run to $8.50. And they had to draw investors out of gold and had to bring them back into bonds again. So 3 years after that, Larry Summers with a co-writer, Barsky, they wrote a paper regarding Gibson's paradox in gold and noting the relationship of gold with inflation. And ultimately, we can see that a soaring price of gold is a barrier to having low interest rates. So we're talking 1982, 1985, and then in 1987, 2 years later, the Bank of England formed two things. That it participated or guided the formation of the London Bullion Market Association, the LBMA, which is the dominant global gold and silver price setter. And also they guided the formation of the LPPM, which is the London Palladium and Platinum Market. And what's notable about these organizations is that they don't trade bullion itself. What they do, and now, by the way, today all gold, silver, platinum, palladium are traded on the LBMA in their OTC market. But what happens is that there's trading of unallocated contracts. So about 95% of the trading, according to the LBMA, is unallocated, which is really promissory notes. So we're talking about the spot market, which is immediate ownership. So you hold a spot contract, which is unallocated. It's a promissory note to deliver metal. And maybe you can just, for your viewers, flip to the first slide there, Craig. But what we can see in that slide is the formation of the LBMA in 1987. And this is what happened with that red circle around it. We can see the yellow price, which is the inverted price of gold, really plummeted. It rose up in this graph, but that's really a falling price and diverged from interest rates. And I won't go too much into detail with this, but you know, today our real inflation rate, if you look at John Williams' work at ShadowStats, you know, using the 1980 model, our real inflation rate is running somewhere around 8-9%, about let's say 2-2.5% for a 30-year. So that's the summary of you know, why do we have these paper markets? Well, you know, how did they come into being? Why was the central bank, the Bank of England, which are running they have a narrative, which is that they can print money and create real growth. And we know that's a fraud. You can't create real growth by, in air quotes, stimulus or lowering interest rates with a debt-based money system that we have. So that's kind of my short summary as to why it appears that we have these paper markets and that you're going to be mispricing the metal. It fractures your price discovery and your supply demand dynamic is broken. And in the end, you will have the assets, which are all of the four precious metals, disappearing from the market due to mispricing and inadequate supply-demand balance.
Okay, so David, we know then this mispricing of metals has gone on now for a couple of decades. Yeah. We all know this in gold and silver. We know, you know, like I call it the fractional reserve and digital derivative pricing scheme, mm-hmm. in that the abundance of futures contracts and derivatives makes it appear as if the metal is in abundance when it's not.
Right.
And the system gets stretched more and more thin. That's why, again, we first identified palladium a couple of years ago. We called it maybe the magic palladium bullet. Yep. That can expose this system.
Yep.
I know you think that's what's going on too. So explain further now what you see. This is not a speculative bubble. This is not hedge funds rushing in to buy palladium on the COMEX. The data doesn't bear that out. This no. isn't every cab driver and shoeshine boy giving a tip saying, hey, buy palladium.
Yeah.
It's not what this is.
No.
So please explain.
Yeah, so what we have is we have these I've stopped ignoring the paper price because it's a promissory note and it's a promissory price. And so what I did and I first started talking to Jay Taylor about this, whom you know as well, back in 2015. And we were in our discussions, which are posted online, we were talking about the fact that when you have paper substituting for actual trading of metals, and you have obvious bullion bank sell down of the price, as we do today, where they're selling down, offering down, providing supply to the market, which is not really there, but taking out the stops of the traders who are in the market who are long, and they blow them out of the market, and then the price cascades. So what we were looking at was the lease rate, and we were looking at the metal, which is really the of the most short supply, which was easily identifiable as palladium. So I looked at the London markets of these four metals, which one of these is going to break first because they're messing with the market. And so that's basically what happened is we started tracking it. And in 2017, the lease rate popped over 16% because somebody withdrew 100,000 ounces from the London market. Over about a month-long period. And to give you a sense in round numbers, the palladium market globally is about 10 million ounces. Now, Scotia just put out a research paper last week saying the forecast for this year, and they also noted, which I've seen in numerous places, that the above-ground available stock of the metal palladium to market, that those stocks are depleted. So very interesting situation now where you've got supply-demand asserting itself in the market. And maybe you can pull up that chart there. That was from David Brady of Sprott. And he posted that chart of the commercial positions versus the price of palladium.
Right.
And you can see basically in December 2018 that the action of violently shorting the market as the price rose until the price actually breaks and you cascade down the long positions, you blow out of the position out of the market, the people with positions that are long, that basically appears to have stopped in terms of being able to surge it, cap the price. And the reason that is when you've got physical shortage asserting itself in the market, you cannot sell metal promises into the market to contain the price. What's going to happen is you get demands for delivery. And in London, every contract is different, but there's no liquidation of positions with cash as there is written into the COMEX rulebook. They are able to force cash settlement in the COMEX, and it's highly, highly unlikely you can do that in a purchase agreement on the LBMA, in essence, overseen by the LPPM. So
I was asked yesterday, why are the banks allowing price to rise? And it's I stated, I don't think they have any choice because, as you're showing here, they know they don't have the metal.
That's right. We call it stepping into a battle without any bullets, right? The only thing that, that really makes a difference here is physical availability of metal. And by the way, the Scotia estimate of a 1.4 million ounce deficit is without considering the entrance of investment demand coming into this market, because my argument is that all the metals are going to start to rise now because of inflationary monetary policy, that more and more people can see the fraud that is taking place with central banking and the assertion that you can create real growth just by diluting currency and lowering interest rates. So,
all right, so we got last week, and again, you've been monitoring, I've been watching this for a couple of years now. You get these runs where everything spikes. The backwardation in the futures board in New York shows this. It got as high as $200 last week, 10% from spot down the board, which, again, it should never be that way. It should always be in contango.
Yeah.
Then you get these lease rates in London, which you've done a great job of explaining. I want you to explain again. Got as high, the one-month lease rate in London got as high as 36%. Yep. Last week, right? What does that mean?
Well, it's the cost of borrowing metal. These interest rates are annualized. So the 1 month got to 36%. So the reason I trust those numbers, or I refer to those numbers, is it's the cost of borrowing metal. When you can't buy the metal, then you have to borrow it. And so
you borrow it to make delivery.
That's right. Someone needs the metal, either needs the metal immediately for their plant. In the more likely scenario, it's someone who needs to deliver metal to someone who's said, thanks for the unallocated spot paper contract. Your promises are great. We'd like to now exercise on that contract. And so what happens, Craig, I mean, the letter that was in the Financial Times last week was really jarring for me to read. I don't know if you've got a copy of it, but it's the Palladium Trade Body warns a supply pinch in London. So the Financial Times comes out, and now the chairman of the LPPM, and his name is John Metcalf. The LPPM, just as a quick aside here, it's really unclear what they are. I mean, it's an association that's got 15 members and 41 associates, bullion banks and metal users, but no palladium producers, no miners are part of this. So when you've got users and bullion banks forming an association to oversee the market, it's really interesting because you've really only got one side of the supply-demand dynamic there. So this Metcalf fellow, John Metcalf, comes out, and the Financial Times got hold of his letter to the market. And I read the letter, and I thought, my first thought was it was pathetic because of the tone. But he comes out in the letter, and it reminds me of if you think of a guy with a three-piece suit walking into a room on his knees. That's what it really came to the fore in my mind when I read this. But he mentioned that they've had extremely turbulent trading conditions, and that there's been terrible troubles in the past with this market. And then the statement which really caught my eye was, it says, Mr. Metcalf urged members to bear this in mind, which is the prior disruptions in the 90s, when pricing physical metal for the sake of the London market's reputation and continued functioning. So I would say here, let's wait a minute. We got a shortage here. You desperately need higher prices. You need to reduce demand. You need demand destruction, and you need to bring more supply to the market. And he's urging members to bear in mind what happened in the 90s when their supply was disrupted for the sake of the London market's reputation. Like I would argue here that if you don't let prices run, you're going to have a seizure in the market, which is going to be terrible. But here's the other side of that argument, is if you let the prices run, those who are short this metal have their short positions on their balance sheets. And when the price shoots up, that their liabilities on their balance sheet shoot up as well, and that ultimately they can become insolvent. And I suspect that this is what is at the heart here, is that there are members of the LPPM who are short this, who are unable to deliver, who need to deliver, and that you're going to start blowing up these speculators who are basically managing the market with paper.
So now, to that end, when we start looking around, you know, you mentioned supplies being depleted, Scotia saying maybe by the middle of this year, there's no above ground palladium left anyplace.
Yeah, they said in three months that the stock, at the current run rate, the stocks would be, they're talking about ETF stocks.
Right.
And those are not necessarily available to market.
You wouldn't think, because the investors in the ETF think they own it. The last I saw, now this is an interesting point too. I used to track the Aberdeen ETF, PALL.
Yep.
And I tracked back last year when this was happening. I started tracking it every day to see if metal was coming out. And the only metal that ever came out was the part associated with the custodial fees being charged by JP Morgan.
Yeah.
All of a sudden in October, and again, maybe it's there. I can't find it on the Palladium, PALL, Aberdeen webpage. I can't find their inventory on a daily basis. Now, it was about 137,000 ounces and not, so I'd love to know how much is in there now. Maybe they can't find it either. I've also was religiously tracking the COMEX palladium inventories because, you know, they've run a paper market there forever. I mean, would go months at a time with nothing but zeros on the daily spreadsheet showing no change, no change, no change. All of a sudden last week, there's a shift within JP Morgan's vault of about 4,300 some odd ounces out of registered into eligible. So then all of a sudden it can't be delivered. And then the next day, almost 19,000 ounces, 36% of the vault gets withdrawn. I've also seen now a couple thousand ounces come out of Loomis in the last couple of days.
Right.
Is this now, is this in your opinion, the first shots of this depletion of above ground being kind of sent around the planet for, you know, to cover immediate delivery demands?
Yeah, I don't think it's the first shots, Craig. I think this is like the very end
stage. Sure. That's true.
If you look at those, the COMEX stocks, I mean, it's a 10 million ounce a year market in round numbers. And, you know, they're down to what, 30,000 ounces now? I mean, it's such marginal supply. And it's interesting that those 18,700 ounces that that were withdrawn last week from the JP Morgan vaults. But there's been no, like today, when the price of palladium has been smashed down more than $100, there's no change in the lease rate in London. I mean, the availability of in the spot market of the metal is the same as it was last week. So we have this, as you noted, this is the smashing down of the price using these unallocated or promissory notes that they're trading. So, you know, this is the end stage, you know, and I think people need to, there's a very good article written by Rona and Manley of Bullion Starts from May 2016. It's called LPPM, the London Platinum and Palladium Market. It takes a look at this organization, which plays a central role. It says in the platinum and palladium market, has a major bullion banks in there, and there's issues with this group here who are central to this London market. They, you know, they have a deed of establishment, but they say they don't have any memorandum of association or any articles guiding their company. They don't post an address. They're of no fixed address. Typically, they say that the Ronan notes that the address changes with the chairman, and usually the chairman follows the chairman of the day around. So it's a very, it's a curious organization that the Bank of England has set up. And I think people need to take a look at this because it seems to be central to this mispricing that's going on along with the LBMA and these unallocated contracts.
Like you said, it's the banks and then the users. I mean, come on. That they all have an interest in somehow keeping price down.
Yes.
It's like the Silver Users Association. You know, I mean, it's the same thing. Anyway, all right, I digress. I want to get back to a couple other things, and I'll find and link Ronan's article from 2016 for everybody to read.
Excellent.
Back to the lease rates real quick. Because unfortunately, you cut out, but I'll splice that together. The lease rates got to 36% last week.
Yep.
JP Morgan withdraws 19,000 ounces out of COMEX. Suddenly the lease rates go down to 12,
right,
which is where they've stabilized. But on those lease rates, so everybody understands, let me ask you if I'm explaining this right. If I need 1,000 ounces today for this promissory note that I wrote however long ago, and I don't have it, so I borrow it from you, David, You loan me the 36. You loan me the 1,000 ounces, but at a rate of 36% annualized, which means a month from now, I'm promising to return to you roughly 1,030 ounces.
Right? Yeah, another 3%, right? So it's 3% per month, and yeah, the interest is paid in metal. It is not paid in fiat. So that's the other thing to remember is that leasing actually it solves the problem today for the addicts. But the addicts now have a much bigger problem in a month.
How is that not compounding the issue, right? If I don't have 1,000 ounces today, how the hell am I going to get 1,030 a month from now?
Yeah,
So this is a sign. The backwardation is a sign.
Yeah.
Now, more metal can always appear.
Yes.
And it can temporarily ease the situation. And that's kind of what we've seen. But as you noted, this is primary. And I'll put a chart on here of the last Thursday, Friday, and today, Monday. The massive selling has been on the COMEX hours, where we know there's no, I mean, there's 36,000 ounces now, backing up 2.6 million digital ounces. Okay. To me, that looks like the banks helping price lower so that hedge funds might get short. And if hedge funds are shorting, the banks can cover while they're selling and transfer the risk of being short to them.
Yeah. Right. So the key here, I think, is that the problem is compounding. If you look at the first time the lease rate started a perturbance from the zero, basically the zero level or the 2% level that it was at the time, was in the end of 2016, and it went to like 4 or 5%, and then it fell back down. And then in the spring of 2017, it went to 21% because someone said we need 100,000 ounces, and it caused a kerfuffle there in London. It fell back down. But if you look at that chart of the lease rate, which people can find the chart of the lease rate at my Twitter account, which is at Real David Jensen. So you can see in there that these spikes or perturbances from the mean rate of increase of the lease rate has been increasing and quite strongly now. So the problem is getting worse. It's not getting better. The price that we have is completely inadequate to bring market returns to balance, which is what makes this John Metcalfe's comments there from the LPM so silly. He's asking people to keep in mind of the London market's reputation and continued functioning. So it's incredible to me that this kind of a letter gets published in the FT. And really what it's doing is it's not solving the problem. It's basically the market, if you look at the market, is a group of swirling great white sharks. And they're looking for price imbalances. And what they do is they bring the price up to bring more supply to the market, which ultimately drops the price down. And what Metcalfe is doing is really he's chumming the waters. He's throwing bucket of bloody guts after bucket over the transom into the water and attracting everybody to this market. So it really shows to me a guy who doesn't know what he's doing, and he's really, really appears to be quite desperate.
Yeah. All right. One final point, David, and then we'll watch price over the next weeks to, month or something, then maybe we can provide an update. But one final point for today. Look, I've told people since February of 2018, look, I'm not renaming my site the TF Palladium Report, okay?
No.
And you could have bought it at $1,200 and you'd be up $1,000 today and everything's, knock yourself out if that's what you do. No one's recommending you go out and buy palladium. That's not what this is about.
Exactly.
This is about exposing and drawing attention globally, important attention, to the scam in the other markets so that people sit back and go, wait a second, hold on just a minute. If this is going on in palladium, maybe I should demand delivery in gold and silver too, because those markets are structured the same. That's what this is about, at least to me. Now, David, there, from a historical sense, there's precedent for a paper market being unable to deliver and unraveling. And I remember like the Maine potato futures or whatever it was called back in the 1970s, where the futures market blew up. Everybody was cash settled, basically. It was news for a day. And then, whatever, everybody just went on about their business. I would suppose that's kind of the risk here. This palladium thing will be like, a story on Bloomberg for a day. And then everybody, whatever. That's why I want to keep drawing attention to it. And that's why I'm sure you want to keep drawing attention to it. But what are the chances? I don't know. How do I phrase this? In the end, could it just blow over? Enough metal shows up, price goes back down, or is there a way that you know, the media is managed enough that this crisis ends and they settle, you know, there's no longer a palladium futures market, kind of like getting it to where like rhodium is now. And then it doesn't extend over to gold and silver. Well, what are your thoughts on where this all goes?
Well, the way I see it is that the precious metals complex as a whole has its function. All these metals have their industrial uses and their their uses as stabilizing assets, let's call it. But when you have unmitigated printing by central planners at the central banks of money, which they're engaged in now globally, is that consumers and investors and societies in general are looking for a haven to protect themselves from the dilution that's going on. And it just so happens that these rarest of the precious metals are the ones that run first because they have the smallest above ground stockpiles. So all you need is users of the metal to say, you know what, this price has been going up suspiciously now, and it used to be stable and dropping, and now it just keeps going up. And hey, guess what? The central planners are printing. And they just need to up their purchase by a few percent. It's marginal demand. And what's killing us now, Craig, is that the inventory, Scotia mentioned in their paper that, you know, there's analysis out there that shows that all of the liquid stocks basically disappeared in 2017. So I don't know, is the price going to drop in dollars? It could for a period, but the entire precious metals complex, I believe, is now going to run because of money printing, and the things that you can't print become very expensive in the end. So, the monetary amount, 4,000 year history is money. They're the ones people probably run to. Palladium is for sure a boutique metal, and it's a very small market. And it's one of which very few people are aware. And as you've noted, you know, that's why this doesn't appear to be a bubble. It's a supply-demand problem created by the paper pricing of the metal.
And that's then ultimately the key. I mean, we've known for years the key to breaking the bank's stranglehold on prices to deprive them, starve them of any metal that they can lever. You know, and you get this run, you know, like any fractional reserve system. The example I always use, David, is, you know, George Bailey, you know, in It's a Wonderful Life, when all of a sudden there's a run on the building and loan and everybody wants their money today.
Right.
And there's all these people that are willing to accept pretend gold, unallocated gold, you know, promissory notes, all this stuff because, well, you know, I save on the storage fees and I know I can always get my metal. If all of a sudden those people, you know, whether it's due to negative interest rates, whether it's due to global economic conditions, banks printing cash, devaluing the currency, you know, coronavirus, all this kind of stuff. If people suddenly go, wait a second, I want my metal. Then that's when this unravels. And I just wonder, I mean, I hope that a breakdown of palladium is the thing that kind of sparks that action.
Yeah. I think, you know, the run on the bank in that movie was because of fractional reserve. That's why you have bank runs, is that the banks lend out their assets of their investors and people start to realize this bank is bankrupt. It doesn't have our money. And they start to withdraw their money from the bank. And that's basically what we have happening in these markets now. And, you know, maybe to cap it off, Greg, the end of this paper printing cycle and the inflationary deluge we have coming, it's essential that assets which counterbalance the loss of value in the bond market and ultimately in stocks is allowed to rise to keep the entire system from collapsing into a deflationary mess.
Right.
And so I think it's the market is asserting itself here and that it's essential that these metals run to provide a counterbalance to the loss of wealth in the other markets.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, my friend, like I said, we've seen, you and I have been tracking this for years, and you see these 10% pullbacks. I'll put, like I said, I'll put that chart on this page of showing you previous pullbacks that were, you know, not like, you know, everybody's be out there buying the dip, but that's what they've been. They've just been dips.
Yeah.
And that's probably where we are again because the situation isn't easing. I look forward to I already follow you on Twitter, so I'm always looking to see, you know, because nobody has this information faster than you do, what the daily lease rates are. Talking to the banks, all that kind of stuff. If you want to follow this daily, you got to follow David on Twitter, again, at Real David Jensen. And David, I think we're going to need to keep in touch. And as we see things change, you let me know. And if you ever need a platform, we'll get you on here.
Sounds good. Thanks for your time, Craig.
And thanks, everybody, for listening. Again, keep an eye on Palladium, and we'll certainly keep you posted.